been a good morning. Thank you. You have no clue what you just heard from those people. Yes, they were nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof on a rainy day, as they say. And I'm proud of them, each and every one of them. The way God has brought them from, where God is taking them to, and where God is at work in their life. Because, you know, they're on a journey that we're all on. We're all on a journey, I hope, this morning, to go from where we are to where God wants us to be. I talk a lot at both, as I have privilege of teaching some classes, both at the Safe House and Sparrow's Nest. We're not just there for you to be sober. There's more to it than that. Because we want you to become the men and women that God created you to be, not the women and men that your mess made you. And you're right, Kristen, you are somebody. And I am too, and you are too, no matter what you think today. And you're not somebody because of me. You're not somebody because of Mr. and Mrs. Brush. You're somebody because of the Lord and who he is and what he has done. I think about this journey that we're on, this journey that we're involved with to become what God wants us to be. And I thought about a verse from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, where Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We come this morning with a message of hope. Hope in the Lord. And that's what Paul found. Here's a man with a past, right? A murdering past. And he's living for the Lord. And we can live for the Lord in spite of our past because of what Christ has done. Hope is available through faith in Christ. And that's what we see happen. We see men and women that will come and they're hopeless. They're hopeless. I don't know how I'm going to live. I don't know where I'm going to go. I can't exist anymore. Physically, I'm a mess. Emotionally, I'm a mess. Mentally, I'm a mess. Any way you can think of, I'm a mess. And God says, wait a minute. You may be a mess, but I want you. And I want to mold you and make you into something besides a mess. And how do I do that? It begins with faith. It begins with faith in Christ. But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Over 50 years ago on a farmhouse in northeastern Pennsylvania, I gave my heart to Christ and trusted him as my Savior. I thought that was the end. That was the beginning. The beginning of a life of faith, right? Taking what we know and living it in the Lord. Indeed, what a blessing it is to know the love of God who gave himself for us and all that entails. I'm not going to be here long this morning, but I do want to share a little bit later in the book of Galatians about how Paul reminds us of several keys to do that, to work on this process of taking our faith and then doing something with it. And all of these verses I'm going to look at, and you may say, well, I'm not exegeting a passage. I'm picking out some principles of life that I need in my life, you need in your life, and are a part of the life that we teach about at Bryan Safe House. Some of the characteristics of what it means to have Christ living in us and through us. Like, what does that look like? Well, first of all, it looks like hope. We come with a message of hope. We've sung about hope. And I pray that every one of you leaves here with hope this morning. Not wishful thinking. Not, man, I hope it. You know, I hope the sun shines today. I hope it rains. Whatever that is, that's wishful thinking. The hope that is based on the promise of Jesus Christ. And in verse 5 of Galatians 5, Paul writes, for we through the Spirit wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. Hope. The work of the Spirit of God. Hope. Hope that waits for the promises of God to be fulfilled. And isn't that the problem? That waiting part? Right? You love to wait? Anybody love to wait? I didn't think so. If you do, I need counseling. I need some life coaching, all right? I don't love to wait, okay? But I'm waiting. I'm waiting, and I have hope in my wait because of what God says. What God says about what he can do in lives and through lives, and I'm waiting for glory. I'm waiting for glory. I'm not running away from anything here. I love my wife. I love my ministries that I'm involved with. I love my home. I love my friends. I love a lot of things, but none of them compare to Jesus, and I'm going to get to spend eternity with him. I'm running to him. That's hope. That's hope. And one of the things we want to build in the lives of young men and women who are hopeless is hope. Hope found in the person of Jesus Christ. The reality of the glory of God. Hope is followed by obedience. In verse 7 of Galatians 5, you did run well, but who did hinder you? You should not obey the truth. See, these Galatian believers had a problem. They were saved by grace, and now they're trying to live by the law. And Paul said, whoa, wait a minute. What's the truth teach? The law teaches that you can't do it. You need help. And that help is found in Christ. And the whole book of Galatians is trying to get the people to understand that, yes, you're saved by grace and you lived by grace. And there is no law that can save then or now. So what do we do? What do we do? We obey the truth. Obey the truth. And we say, I don't know much about the truth. I don't know much. I don't know much. And what do I tell you? The residents, I'll say, don't worry about what you don't know. That's why I'm here. I'm here to teach you. Do what you do know. And that's the challenge for every one of us today. Whatever you know about the Lord, do it. Whatever the Lord says to your heart, do it. And then keep learning so you can do more. That's the obedience. That's living for the Lord. And I guarantee it that there is no one here that perfectly obeys 24/7, every day of every month of every year of your life. Because we're us, right? I'm me, okay? I'm not perfect, except in God's eyes. I'm not a perfect teacher. I'm not a perfect husband. I'm not a perfect father. The only thing I'm perfect at is being a grandpa. I'm perfect. No, I'm not even perfect at that, okay? But obedience, okay? We need to learn to obey. We need to learn to love. Verse 13, for brethren, we've been called unto liberty. Yay, freedom. I get to do what I want. Wait a minute. Back up those horses. Only use not liberty for the occasion to the flesh, but in love serve one another. God says, yes, you have freedom. And you don't use your freedom to sin, you lose your freedom to serve. That's what love is. You want to love God? Anybody want to love God this morning? I want to love God. Here's how you love God. You love him by serving others. By loving others. That's what you do. You want to know how to do that? He gives you a prescription for love in 1 Corinthians 13. When you get that mastered, we'll go on from there. You know, like love your enemies type stuff. Love. The possession of freedom, liberty to choose. And the young men and young women at Sparrow's Nest and Brian Safehouse lived in freedom to choose. And they chose wrong until they couldn't choose right. That's what addiction does. You can't choose right. I can't. Physically, I can't. Mentally, I can't. Emotionally, I can't. So what are they learning now? They're learning to make some choices based on love, not what they want. And I praise God for the work he's doing in their life. So practice your love. Serve one another. And serve God by serving others. In verses 16 and 17, he talks about our walk. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and they're contrary one to another. So you can't do the things that you would. And what is going on here? The spiritual tug of war that we're all in. We got these things going on, right? We got God on one side, and we got our flesh on the other side, and we're struggling with what's going on here. And that's what he's talking about. The opportunity for the Spirit to work and do things God's way versus the opposition that we find in our flesh. Is that real, yes or no? It's real, isn't it? It's real. We don't think right. We don't speak right. We don't act right. We don't always do right. I don't always walk in the Spirit. That tug of war is real. That spiritual tug of war. And you want to know who's going to win the tug of war in your life? Whichever side is stronger. And whatever side is stronger is the side you're feeding. If you're feeding God, you say, how do I make God stronger? You don't. You allow God to make you stronger. You can't make him stronger. But the more you yield to him, the more you give to him, the more you allow him to work, the stronger you become in this spiritual tug of war to be what God wants you to be, to find that hope in the Lord, not just in your head, not just in your heart, but in your life and through your life. And if you feed the other side, see things you shouldn't see, hear things you shouldn't hear, do things you shouldn't do, that side will win. I've been there. I've been there. So feed the right side. Feed the God side and watch what will happen. So what does this life look like that we are working on, not just at the Safe House and Sparrow's Nest, but in our lives as children of God? It looks like hope and obedience and love and a walk in the Spirit. And finally, it looks like fruitfulness. Verses 22 and 23, the same chapter, Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits. I go to the store, right, and they got all these fruits. And my wife will say, well, what do we want to get today? Do we want bananas or we want raspberries, okay? What kind of fruit do we get to pick and choose? That's not what we do here. We don't pick and choose. It is the fruit of the Spirit. When God, you want to know what the work of the Spirit looks like, go to Galatians 5. Okay, that's what it looks like. It looks like love and joy and peace and patience and self-control. Well, self-control, that's a misnomer. I think it's God control. Okay, that's what it looks like. And all the other things listed there. We don't get to pick and choose, but you know what we do get to do? We get to allow God to work in us. That's what this is, fruit in us. And that's where fruit begins. Years ago, my dad had planted some apple trees. Stopped one day to say hello, and he was down, I don't know, weed eating or something around his apple trees, looking at him, and I said, "How you know, we just got talking." He said, "Yeah, that one over there." Well, they weren't very big yet. He said, "I'm gonna have to kill that one. I'm gonna have to cut that one down." He says, "That's dead." I said, "No, it's not." He said, "Yeah, it is." I said, "No, it's not dead." I had just walked by it, and all the other trees were leaved out, and this just had little green buds coming out on it. So we went over and looked at it, and there was a little bit of life in it. Okay. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for God to work in us. Okay, what does an apple tree produce? It's supposed to produce apples, okay? Sometimes they get frozen around here and don't. But what do we produce? The fruit of the Spirit from life in us. And whether you have a lot of that or a little of that, keep working on it, because God works in us so he can work through us. And we're here by him and for him. And what we're doing is continuing the process of change to see God work, and he is. Thank you for your support of Brian Safehouse and Sparrow's Nest. I want you to know it's worth it if one life is changed and many lives have been changed. Someone asked me when they came in this morning, "Are you Pastor Pease?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I remember when your son was at Brian Safehouse. I can't tell you how many years ago that was now, but it's like 13 or 14 years. And I would say that Brian Safehouse saved his life, but that's not true. God saved his life." And the gentleman that asked me said, I hope he's doing well. Well, let me tell you about it, okay? He's living for the Lord. He's a producer in society instead of a consumer. He's got a beautiful, godly wife who loves the Lord. And he's given me two grandsons. Grandsons, grandchildren are God's gift to you for not killing your kids. You know who told me that? Jerry. And I never forget it. And I use it all over and it always gets a chuckle. But isn't it true? I'm a proud dad, and Brian Safehouse has been a part of that, because my wife and I lived in moments of hopelessness, And God brought hope. And that's the message that we leave with you today. You see, Brian Safehouse and Sparrow's Nest are places where hope is found. Hope is found in Christ. And Brian Safehouse and Sparrow's Nest are places where faith is lived. Imperfectly, but real. Faith is found. Faith is worked on. And this morning, faith was shared with you. What a blessing. What a blessing. Make sure this morning you have faith. Have faith. And we're reminded and blessed with the fact that that faith is in Christ and Christ alone. And then live faith. Live faith. Live hope. Live obedience. Live love. Live your walk. Live the fruit of the Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the opportunity today to not just know you, but live for you. And I pray that something this morning that these young men and women have shared, that we have had the opportunity to share through ministry, will touch a heart and challenge us all to live for you. We thank you for the privilege. In Jesus' name, amen.